Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Eye-to-eye memories of a Mayo-trained LDS medical missionary is the story of Dr. John S. Jarstand. From humble beginnings as a commercial fisherman to becoming an international expert in eye surgery and an inventor. His book tells the remarkable stories of doctors and patients whose lives were changed by faith, prayers, persistence, and hard work. Dr. Jarstad is a Mayo-trained, board-certified ophthalmologist specializing in laser and cataract surgery. His research has been at the forefront of the diagnosis and treatment of eye disease. Dr. John Jarstad, author of Eye-to-Eye Memoirs of a Mayo Clinic-trained eye surgeon, is our guest on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Happy to be here.
What a career that you've done and the lives that you've touched, the people we'll be talking about specifically in the program today and those that are touched that you'll probably never know about that have been beneficiaries of the research and the work that you've done in developing your craft. Let's talk about how busy this has to be for you. How does a Mayo-trained eye surgeon maintaining a busy Seattle area practice while serving 55-plus volunteer humanitarian trips around the world, including working on the USNS Mercy Hospital ship, how do you juggle all of that?
That's a lot. That's the secret.
Yes.
That's tough to do, but I've really enjoyed those mission trips. It's kind of a nice break for me, and it's almost like a vacation from, you know, the day-to-day stuff that we do in the clinic and in the surgery in my own practice. So I've formed some really great friendships over the years with doctors overseas. And it's just really fun for me to go over and in the beginning it was training them in the latest techniques. And now they have kind of come up to our level. And so we kind of share experience and techniques that help us both. So it's been kind of a great two-way association.
Yes.
where we can help each other and learn the newest and greatest things.
Interesting.
To help our patients.
Yeah, interesting that evolution of that relationship as you've gone through the years. Doctor, tell me a little bit about your background, the scope of your medical expertise, which is very impressive, and some of the mission trips you took, some of the rare conditions, diseases you treated or discovered abroad. It's been a remarkable series of trips for you. Give us a little background on your expertise and the impact it's had on these trips.
Sure, Rick. I guess I've just happened to be fortunate in discovering some things that have really made an impact around the world, which I never even imagined I could do that as a commercial fisherman working my way through college. But one of the inventions I came up with was when the president of a lens company came and said, hey, if you were to design the perfect delivery system to put an artificial lens into the eye, what would it be like? And so I said, well, it'd have to be something that's disposable, like a little plastic syringe, but it would have to be tapered at the tip so it could go through a tiny incision. And then the most important thing I said, it should be spring-loaded so that when you push on the plunger, it doesn't suddenly shoot out through the eye and hit the retina. And he says, oh, could you draw that on the whiteboard in the operating room? So I drew it up and he took a photo. And about 2 months later, he came back with the prototype of a lens injector. And he said, should we call it after you? And I said, oh, that's a little egotistical. He said, well, you travel a lot. How about if we call it the passport injector? So that's a great name. And so that was used for a number of years. And then it's been modified by Bausch and Lomb. And it's used to insert the crystal lens, which is the only lens that can change focus from far away to close up using the muscles inside the eye. So now it's called the Crystal Cert. They changed the name of it. And I just happened to use one yesterday that I used.
Amazing.
So it's still in use after about 20 years. And they've had some modifications and upgrades, but that's one thing. As far as patients go, I can think of one really interesting patient, a few as I was served on the Mercy Hospital ship for the Navy. And I was a civilian consultant volunteer. They asked me to head up the group of volunteers from Utah and different places. And there was a patient in Manado, Indonesia, which is right up near the border with the Philippines. And this particular young man had only one eye. He was born without his other eye. And he had a condition called Peter's anomaly, where the lens and the iris, the pupil, are adherent to the back surface of the cornea. And I said, well, this really shouldn't be done on a hospital ship. It's more something we would take on at the university. And so the father insisted. He says, I don't care if he goes blind. He says, this may be the only chance my son will ever have to see. And he was about 17, and so he begged us to do the surgery, and so we did. And I didn't know for sure whether he would see much at all the next day when we took the bandage off. So I said, hey, can you see much? And he had a big smile on his face. And then I reached up my hand as high as I could to shake hands with him, just to make sure, you know, instead of reaching out.
Yes.
And he reached up and grabbed my hand. And wow. Everybody was just like, you know, thrilled and in tears and everything. And so that was a really remarkable thing. And even more, he got his vision back down to about 20/60, where he could pass a driver's test. And then he ended up, he was so grateful for the vision that he ended up going on a mission trip himself for his church. So that was pretty exciting. One other one was a young lady in Cambodia that had a droopy eyelid. And, you know, I don't think much about that it's a big disfigurement or anything. But in Cambodia, they were total outcasts in their village because they said that she was possessed by the devil or something. And so she just had this droopy eyelid at age 5. And so her mom waited in the heat and 109 degree temperature for 2 hours so that we would see if we could do her daughter's surgery. And again, we said, well, we're really not set up to do children too much. But she also begged and said, you know, this is our only chance to fix my daughter's eye. So we took her into surgery, and the surgery went well. We adjusted her eyelid, and it looked normal afterward, just the day after. And she was so grateful and appreciative. And she said, now we can go back into the main part of the village and live a normal life. So there are some really remarkable, miraculous stories of, you know, patients whose family has great faith. And they said, you know, we heard this ship was coming, or we heard that a doctor from the U.S. was coming, and we've waited. And we're just hoping that we can get things fixed up. And it's just been really... really incredible to be able to witness that and to see the faith of people that, you know, trust us so much.
Those are amazing stories, and that's plural. This is not something that happened one time, a story that you can't wait to tell people. You're so proud to have been a part of it. But so many stories like this, and you'll find them as you read the book. The book is Eye to Eye. Our guest is the author, John J. Jarstad, M.D., J-A-R-S-T-A-D. His website is drjarstadeyetoeye.com, book available at Amazon, the usual places. What's it like when you do that? This is not helping somebody get over a sinus infection or pneumonia, something like that. This is life-altering, maybe in some sense life-saving. What's it like to be part of that?
Yeah, it really is life-changing for the patients. And, you know, just the amount of goodwill that comes back from that. And I talk to people, you know, in the military and the government, and they say, oh, this is the best kind of diplomacy we could really
yes.
ask for. And I remember one patient in Africa. Sometimes it's fun to ask the obvious questions. Like I asked him, he was an older man. He had 12 children in Zimbabwe. And I said, why do you want to have cataract surgery? Because he was blind. He could see the big E, and that was it. And he says, oh, because of the animals. I said, oh, yeah, they're just amazing. You can see the giraffes and the zebras and the orangutans and the monkeys, and they're just so playful and everything. He says, said, is it so you can see those beautiful animals and their antics? And he says, no, so they do not eat me. So that was something you don't really find too often in the United States.
No, you come home thinking, okay, at least he's not going to get eaten. So this is a good part of that. He can see now is animals are coming after him. Such remarkable stories in the book Eye to Eye, Memoirs of a Mayo Clinic Trained Eye Surgeon, with Dr. John Jarstad, our guest on the program. What inspired you to serve? Why did you decide, I have this gift, I have this talent, I'm going to give it back? How did you come to that decision, and what's it been like for you?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is from the upbringing I had from my parents. My father was the anchorman on the ABC station in Seattle, and then did sports for a number of years on TV. And so he also owned a ski and motorcycle shop, a sporting goods shop. And every winter around Christmas time, he would take a load of ski equipment, warm clothes, sleeping bags, everything up to a boys' ranch for orphan boys. up in the mountains, and he had me help him load the truck one time, and I asked him about that. He said, "Why do we do this, Dad?" He said, "Well, son, when you've done well, you really have an obligation to help other people." And so that was in my mind. And then I found out that about 10% of eye surgeons do volunteer work around the world. And, you know, we don't talk about it usually. And you know, it's kind of kept quiet, like the Bible says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, kind of a thing. But I got introduced to that at a meeting once, at our national meeting, and I saw a doctor from Zimbabwe who asked our group of eye surgeons at a dinner, is there anybody who can come over to Zimbabwe and teach me the latest eye surgery techniques? And at the time, I was teaching cataract surgery at the University of Washington. And after the meeting, nobody volunteered. So I said, "Did you find anyone?" And he said, "No. Can you come?" I said, "Well, I don't even know where Zimbabwe is." He said, "It's just north of South Africa." And he said, "So when will you come?" And I said, "Well, I could probably come in January. That's the slowest time of the year for us." And so he said, "Oh, and by the way, can you bring some supplies?" And I thought, where am I going to find supplies for eye surgery? And then another doctor overheard me. He said, "Oh, contact the drug companies. They're really generous about doing that." So the first trip, I took 27 duffel bags full of eye equipment.
Wow.
Over. And we did surgery for 2 weeks and just had a wonderful time. And it made a huge difference. And after that, the president of Indonesia asked if we had anyone who could come over and teach them the latest surgery. And so I was able to go there, and I've been going to Indonesia about every year since and made some wonderful lifelong friends, both in Africa and Indonesia, that we get together whenever there's a national or international meeting and share ideas. And it's helped me become a better surgeon. And I think I've helped them in instructing them. And they say that, over half of the surgeons in Indonesia have learned their technique from our work over there.
It's just amazing. Remarkable stories in Dr. Jarstad's book, Eye to Eye, the book available wherever books are sold, to give you all that information and the doctor's website as we go through the conversation. Doctor, tell me some about maybe some of the astonishing, jaw-dropping experiences in other countries, patient background, outcome stories. You've touched on some. Give me a couple more, because these are remarkable stories. Again, life-altering surgeries that they're just remarkable.
Yeah, that's, I think most recently I went to Honduras, and there was a 14-year-old girl who lived up on a side of, up on the top of a cliff, and she would walk down the cliff every day to the farm, and, you know, on these handholds on rocks and things, and she had cataracts that developed pretty early in life. And so she had what's called a white cataract, where all they can see is light and dark. And then we did her surgery, and we didn't know if she would have amblyopia or lazy eye from deprivation of vision from an early age. But we took off the patch, and there was a little pet monkey called Buddha Monkey that was there at Proyecto Honduras, was the name of the charity. And we built an eye clinic there. But we took the patch off, and she said, "Hey, there's a monkey over there."
Wow.
So we knew that she could see. So that was pretty remarkable. And then she could be able to see to walk up and down the side of the cliff safely every day. And so we felt good about that. Another real interesting case was when I was in North Korea. And over there, there was a man who could only tell when the sun came up and when it went down. He just could see light and dark. And so we ended up taking over one of these crystal lens, the latest version of cataract implant. And it just happened to be that was the implant that would fit his eye perfectly. And so we're putting this implant in, and then the next day we take the patch off, and he has almost perfect 20/20 vision where he could only see light and dark. And he was so excited, and he was talking in Korean real fast. And I said, "What did he say? What did he say to the interpreter?" He said, "Well, now he can see perfectly, and he was told that he had to remain blind the rest of his life. And so now he doesn't know if he can believe anything his government tells him." And so one of my patients who worked for the CIA said in Seattle when I was there, he said, "Yeah, that's the best kind of backdoor diplomacy we have." So,
amazing. And you feel like you're there with Dr. Jarstad as he's going through these humanitarian trips in his book, Eye to Eye, Memoirs of a Mayo Clinic-Trained Eye Surgeon. His website is drjarstadeyetoeye.com. J-A-R-S-T-A-D. Book available, of course, Amazon, all the usual places. Talk about these unique experiences on these humanitarian trips. How has this changed you? What impact has this had on you in your private life and the professional life as well?
Well, that's a great question. I think one of the things is it's helped me really appreciate the United States of America and all of the benefits that we have living here in this country. Our level of medical care is really the highest in the world and has been that way for, you know, for decades. The rest of the world is catching up with us. It's really nice to see that. And I feel great satisfaction in training. I've trained about 180 doctors overseas, and they're like your kids. You know, you want them to do well. And it's fun when they call me in the middle of the night and say, hey, I've got this. I'm in the middle of a surgery. What do you think I should do? Let me show you this video. And I'll say, okay, do this, this, and this. And they go, oh, thanks, Dr. Day. That worked. You know, so that's really fun for me. But it's also helped me appreciate, you know, the safety that we have here. I know when I went to Nigeria, that's the only place I've been shot at. And my host doctor just told me, we're walking to lunch. He says, John, duck. I said, why? He said, he pushed my head down and wow. I heard this bullet whizzing past my ear. It makes this characteristic sound like, shoo. So that was kind of interesting. And then when I got back to England, I actually did wing down and kiss the tarmac thinking, you know, I'm safe.
Yes,
again.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That's just...
So, been about the most dangerous thing I encounter.
A bulletproof vest was probably packed along with medical supplies for subsequent trips that you were able to take there. Putting you on the spot, I don't know if there's one that sticks out, a memorable or impactful mission trip, or maybe an experience with a patient that you've had so far. You've had so many. Is there one trip, one patient that really sticks out that when somebody asks you that comes to mind immediately?
Wow, that's a tough one. I mean, there's so many that, you know, were really what I would consider miracles that probably shouldn't have gotten such good vision after our surgery, but did. But I go back to probably the experience of going to North Korea twice and, you know, and meeting Kim Jong-un and playing billiards with him and kind of getting to know him a little bit better. And I can see why he and Trump got along well. They're both characters it was fun to hear him. He speaks really good English. He's very well educated. And I just enjoyed my time with him. And I just felt like, gosh, if people could get to know him and if there could be some trust between us, that might break down some barriers in the world. But I think one of the other ones, though, that you alluded to is when Osama bin Laden brought over one of the Mujahideen fighters of his from Afghanistan. And this was when we were allies before he turned and was, you know, they were fighting the Russians. And he brought this Mujahideen fighter over, a grizzly, young, short, little, stocky guy who had cataracts that were so bad he couldn't see. And he said, I would like to pay for cataract surgery for this fighter, soldier of mine. And he says, how much will it be? And people that come that far, I give them a price that we have to do $1 more than what Medicare pays. And so I said, this will be it. So he pulls out this envelope with 40 $100 bills, fresh $100 bills. He says, will this be enough? I said, yeah, that's plenty. That's fine. So he says, but we need to leave soon. When can we do the surgery? And I said, well, we could do it tomorrow. So we did the surgery the next day, and the patient could see and never saw him again. And I didn't really understand who this was until I saw him on TV. And ophthalmologists are interesting people. We typically have a photographic memory, so we can really remember things that we see because we see images all day long.
Yes.
And so when he first came on TV later on, I go, that's the guy, about 6'5" and about, you know, very thin, and he wore a white robe and a turban when he came in. And I just knew that's who came over and brought this person over with him.
That's just so many amazing stories. You're going to have to read the book to get all of these stories, and you'll feel like you're there on experiencing this right along with Dr. Jarstad. The book is Eye to Eye, Memoirs of a Mayo Clinic Trained Eye Surgeon. Time is going so quickly on the program. Some people would say, why do you do this? With the amazing career that you've had, you could sit back, you could take vacations, you take time off now to go to these impoverished countries and to help people. Why do you do this, and why do you continue to do this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that kind of goes back to my upbringing in the LDS faith. And one of the leaders of the church in the early years, Joseph Smith, said, "A man filled with the love of God is not satisfied with blessing his own people alone, but ranges through the world helping those who are less fortunate." And that's kind of what I've sort of adopted, and I try to live by that.
What is it like, in just a few minutes left here, but what is it like to take your experiences and you combine those with the scientific discoveries, the creative surgical inventions that you've been part of, a key part of? What's it like to share all these experiences with other doctors and with medical students that look at you and go, boy, this guy's the pinnacle of the profession. What he's doing is just amazing from a professional standpoint and a humanitarian standpoint. What's this like for you?
It's the greatest job in the world. I mean, to take somebody that's blind and help them see, and then to teach the young doctors,
yes,
and impart the pearls that I've developed over my years in my career. And, you know, like I said earlier, just like your kids, you want them to do well. And it's so great when I see the light bulb go on in their head and they say, "I've got it. This is my first operation I've ever done. And you helped me through it. And I'm so grateful." And that's kind of what I live for.
What's up next for you? An excellent job in writing this book. Are you working on another book?
I actually started a romance novel that I had overheard from times when I was in the nurse's lounge and overhearing some of the
Ooh, I like this. I like this.
And so it's a little steamy, but it's going to be called Women of the Plateau. And it's the plateau is the area above Seattle where all the wealthy people live. And so it's got some really kind of funny romance stories about nurses and doctors getting together and falling in love and that sort of thing. So I'm kind of almost finished with that book, and hopefully it will be one of those Harlequin-type romance stories.
Well, it's a book on its way to being a motion picture or a television series. It has all the elements there. You got my attention like right away, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that book when it's finished. And this has been so much fun having Dr. Jarstad with us on the program to talk about his book, Eye to Eye, Memoirs of a Mayo Clinic Trained Eye Surgeon. Book available. His website is drjarstadeyetoeye.com. Jarstad, J-A-R-S-T-A-D. The book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. KingPagesPress.com arranged our conversation today. They're handling as a marketing consultant for the doctor. Doctor, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Time went by too quickly. So much to talk about in terms of the changing technology, what you've been part of with the amazing discoveries, and the humanitarian work that you've done that's changed lives of so many people. Thank you for sharing your story with us on the program.
Thanks, Rick. I really appreciate you having me on.
It has been our pleasure. And you get that steamy novel finished, give me a call, and we'll chat about that as well. The book, Eye to Eye, Memoirs of a Mayo Trained Eye Clinic. The book is available now. It's at Amazon, the doctor's website, drjarstadeyetoeye.com. And, of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.